Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, or youtube.tv/1080AM, the fan. Party on, party people. We've got the Oregon Ducks cruising right along, man. That was about as dominant of a first half as you could expect from a team.
Yeah,
Saturday afternoon.
I'm watching that game. I was like, I thought the Ducks would win handily. I didn't think they'd cover because that 25 when it opened at. That's a massive number. And I'm sitting there going, okay, let's see how this game goes. Oregon does what they do offensively. And I'm like, okay, maybe a little bit more resistance from Illinois there. But then one play was like, all right, I'm out on this game. Illinois, they try to get the deep play. Altmaier throws the most ridiculous arm punt I've ever seen. It was like, what did you see here that made you think that, one, you should throw this, two, you should throw it there, three, use that throw to get it there? And I was like, if this is what they are going with, they have no chance in this game, and it's already over. And then Oregon just responded and said, watch this. And then they just put quite the smackdown on him.
Pressure, man.
It was incredible.
Pressure did it to him. And I was heading into it, we knew Oregon had a speed advantage, and that was pretty clearly outlined leading into that game. Mm-hmm. Of Oregon had an advantage athleticism-wise. I was shocked, quite frankly, the physicality that, or lack thereof, that Illinois had, I mean, on both sides of the ball. It was a game where you looked at, you know, Gabe Akis was a non-factor largely in that game. He had a sack, I believe.
Yes. One sack, one TFL.
He was a non-factor for most of that game. Up front, on the interior of the offensive line, that was where Illinois was weak, guard to guard. I think I said that about a billion times leading up to that game. Guard to guard, Illinois was not good. And Derek Carmen, Jamari Caldwell and company, hell, even Amarion Winston moving into the nose on the goal line made life hell for Illinois up front. And I think that that is where this Oregon team is so dangerous is when you are good in the middle of your defensive line and you are getting a pushback, guys like Luke Altmaier, who is more athletic than he gets credit for, they are forced to be, roll out of the pocket, and you're going to Tatum Tuioti, you're going to Mateo Uyunglele, you're going into, you know, Devin Jackson, who's, you know, bending around and filling on the outside. There's not a speed advantage that you have, even with your athletic quarterback. That is, Oregon is playing at an insanely high level defensively.
Yep.
And on offense, the balance that they have shown, what are you gonna, I mean, they put up 363 yards in the first half. They outgained Illinois 363-86 in the first half.
Yeah, it was not remotely close. And Oregon, obviously, they only scored 3 points after the half because they just buttoned it up and said, and I've seen some Oregon fans who are like, why aren't they pouring it on? Why? I'm like, I think Lanning's doing the right thing. And just, hey, we've got this game put away, salt it, move on to the next, get out of here healthy. And I think that they're doing the right thing. And I think Duck fan is maybe a little too spoiled or holding on to the Chip Kelly era of like, let's put hang 70 on somebody. It's like, that's not how this works. When you're a team at the very top, you're just, once you've got a game taken care of, you just move on. You are already on to the next.
Yeah, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when Gabriel is, he threw for what, 243 of his 291 in the first half.
Yeah.
You're just saying, all right, we're going to get out of here. I do understand that there is a lot of Oregon fan that is, I don't know if the word is concerned with Dylan Gabriel throwing interceptions.
He does look, if you're talking about the highest level competition, he gets out of it against Ohio State. But between now and Ohio State, again, now Will Johnson will test you this weekend. Don't mess around throwing near that guy. I've seen it happen. You float one near that man, it's gone. He's gonna take that thing to the house. But Michigan's offense is so putrid, I don't think it's something you truly have to worry about kind of going forward. But Gabriel is flirting with like what he can and can't get away with in certain areas. And I guess if you're going to do it in these situations and not against, you know, the cream of the crop.
I have seen, and this is kind of what I would, in those games that have been tight and in the games that are of consequence, have any of his interceptions been thrown in those?
No.
He had three low red area interceptions in that back-to-back with UCLA, where Brian Addison jumps the route, Tez slips, he goes pick six, okay? Tried to get it to Tez, picked off. Michigan State baited him into it.
Mm-hmm.
He held onto the ball for far too long, got off of his first read, Zach Grace, way too late to try to find Herbert. Linebacker makes a really good play against Michigan State, and that was one where Dylan Gabriel said it after the game. He said, look, I sometimes get a little greedy. I try to see if I can make that throw. He's trying to test what he can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
In these games, the Purdue game, it was what, 28-0?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, if you're going to try it, like that.
Sails it high, goes through his receiver's hands, gets intercepted, right? The Illinois one. And ball was underthrown. He actually had a few. If I was going to say the thing that I was like, it was he underthrew three balls in that game. One got picked off. One was a touchdown to Justice Lowe, where two steps on the guy. Still was a touchdown, but a little bit underthrown. He had to come back to the ball, gets tackled as he's going into the end zone, right? There were a few balls that were underthrown. The interception, I'm not overly concerned because if you're going to try to work on, all right, what can I do? Go ahead and do it when you're up big. That's where we've seen his interceptions, right? Or games that you feel like they're not tight games. I look at the two games that were tight. He went 18 of 21 for 243 and two touchdowns, zero interceptions against Boise.
Mm-hmm.
Against Ohio State, 23 of 34, 341 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Plays a lot more safe. Then, if you're going to do it, try to get away with it in these games.
In these games, yeah. And quick shout out to Noah Winnington, because that safety is still picking his gear up at the goal line.
Noah Winnington, he
absolutely dump trucked that man. Good Lord,
I feel so good for a guy like Noah Winnington because I know you saw it on social media the week prior. It was, what is Noah Whittington doing getting all these carries? Why are they still leaning on Noah Whittington? He's still trying to get back from a major knee injury, and it's taken him a long time. I think he might be back.
He got his legs underneath him.
We saw it at Purdue in late as the game went on. Mm-hmm. He got better, and he had some explosives. Against Illinois, you saw that's what Noah Whittington was doing before he got injured against Colorado. Lowering his shoulder, being a dual threat out of the backfield as a receiver, dump trucking dudes behind his pads.
That
was impressive.
That DB, I can't remember his name, somebody did a freeze frame on him. He had both feet pointed up at the sky.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was just, oh no. I mean, Noah Whittington channeling his inner Patrick Mahomes there.
Yeah, it was.
It was like, whoa.
Okay.
Oh.
And it was a pop. It was loud.
You could hear it on TV. Like, it was like, oh, I haven't seen, like, you just, it feels like we don't get many of those in football anymore, where you used to get that one-on-one, like, man-on-man, like, little Oklahoma drill, live action kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, oof.
Tez Johnson had two plays that I went, oh my goodness. The touchdown where I don't know if this offensive line can block any better than they have recently. On that touchdown to Tez, Dylan Gabriel
had all day.
He didn't even move.
No,
he just sat there and
got
bounced
in
the pocket
and stayed on his toes.
And he scanned the field three complete times. He went left to right, right to left,
and back.
Left to right. And Tez told me after the game in our post-game interview, he said, you know, in that scramble drill, when the guy's waiting that long, you run your route, everybody breaks the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I knew the middle of the field was going to be wide open. And when your quarterback's not scrambling, go to the middle of the field.
Where he can see you.
And so he went to the middle of the field, and then that move he put on the safety was just, goodness gracious, nothing that guy could do. That was play number one where I just went, okay, Tez may be a little bit different. The other one where it should have been picked, that screen where Gabriel dumps it over the top, and Tez like does a pirouette one-hand catch, and then he stays in bounds and goes up the sideline, picks up the first down on it.
And shout out to you, though. Unreal.
Did,
you called for Justice Lowe to step up this week, and he obviously, outside of the touchdown, he was still impactful.
He's going to play a lot of downs for this team because of Justice Lowe is a high football IQ guy. Like, he is, he's very smart, but we even saw him, and Trayshon Holden is not just an elite talent catching the football, he's a great blocker. Justice Lowe is just as good. They ran him short motion inside, and they inserted him, and he went in between the guard tackle and rooted out a linebacker in a run play. Like, you're doing that with a wide receiver. And so Justice Lowe, he got an inch, and he created some playing time for himself.
Well, I know that last week we talked about how important it was for Oregon to get out and have a quick start in this game to try to exert their excellence. I got out of here at, I think it was 12:35 on Saturday afternoon, and I don't think they kicked off until 12:40. It was already 14-0 when I made it home and pulled in my driveway.
Yeah. They're coming out.
It's like a 22-minute drive.
I think that is impressive. We had that second quarter lull against Purdue that everybody said there's a lull second quarter to third quarter. And this goes back to Oregon kind of answering all the questions week by week, right? Week by week.
What you put in front of them, they handle.
Offensive line coming out of Idaho. First half against Boise, they tried to fix it. The second half, they made that change, and we have seen a completely different offensive line unit since the second half of that Boise game. Then it was, all right, can the defense start stringing together not just good halves, but complete games? We're starting to see that time and time again. This one was, all right, there was a quick start after an emotional win against Purdue. Can they get through that lull and not take their foot off the gas in the second quarter? They didn't. They scored on five of their first six drives. Okay,
salted put up it away early, man.
35 points in the first half. Brett Bielema, that was the largest deficit Brett Bielema has ever had at halftime of a game. They were up 35-3, right? They're answering all those questions week in and week out. Now it is, can you take this on the road into a hostile environment? Michigan may not be the same team they were last year. There's going to be 110,000 people. It will be there's going to be ramped up and geeked out for the number one team in the country to go to Michigan. Can you take this business trip on the road and perform like you have? Think of their road environment so far. Oregon State, where there are a lot of Duck fans and they took them out of that game pretty early. UCLA, probably 60-40 UCLA to Oregon fans, maybe closer to 50-50. Purdue, where most of the fans were there to see Oregon, not Purdue play. Even the Purdue fans.
Yeah.
Not a good environment on a Friday night. Those are the three road games that they have had to this point. They are truly going to a hostile environment against a physical team that is woefully one-dimensional on the offensive side of the ball. But can you string the performances that you've had together in front of what will be one of those crowds? It's going to be loud. They're going to be hostile. And it is an uptick in talent from what they have seen on the road to this point. That's going to be the next challenge for Oregon. They've kind of answered every question at this point. They're deserved of the number one team in the nation, unless you're John Wilner, apparently. The only person in the AP top 25 to not vote Oregon number one.
Mm.
John Wilner.
I wonder if there's any potential reason for that.
I don't know. I don't know. Young guys also stepping up too. Sione Laulea gets an interception. Mm-hmm. Damn near gets another pick. Dink Riggs comes in, the freshman running back out of DC.
Great names on this team, by the way.
Yeah, right?
Really?
Comes in, five bangers. Catches, 44 yards for DeJuan Riggs.
What is it that a Bay Area dude would have against voting them? I mean,
The
other two in the Bay, they've gone and joined a conference completely across the other end of the country.
No, when there's Mr. Pac-12, though. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Mr. Pac-12. All right. That was a big game, though.
Hmm.
One looming question about this Oregon team we'll have to get to at a later time. Let's start talking Blazers a little bit, huh? Mm. We're gonna bump this thing into the worst day on the web too. Blazers looked really damn good yesterday, and they looked very, very good on Friday night as well.
So that is the worst day on the web then.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Portland Trailblazers now 1-2 on the young season. Last time we left you, it was kind of a bitter taste in all of our mouths after getting beat by 35, then amended to 36 points.
Yeah, got
to
get that extra point.
Yeah. Golly. But heading into the weekend, they had a home-and-home, or a home-home, against the New Orleans Pelicans. Same team, back-to-back days. Usually, historically in the NBA, it's a split. It really
almost
is.
Almost always a split.
It doesn't matter how bad a team is.
Yeah, I remember, again, I mentioned this last week. Last year, the Blazers went down to Phoenix with nobody on the roster and beat the brakes off the Suns. And then the Suns, the next game, came out and absolutely annihilated that Blazers. I think they beat them by like 40. It was bad.
Well, what we saw on Friday night was Blazers came out with a little P&V, a little vinegar in them, and it was a far more complete game than what we saw, and more competitive and competent game against the Pelicans. And they end up losing 105-103. Brandon Ingram, game winner.
He hit an incredible shot. But
that isn't that what we want to see from this team? Lead it late in a game and then not win?
Within five, with 5 minutes to go, is the goal, I think, every night. For every team in the NBA, but I think for this team especially, just kind of be there. General, like, 30,000-foot view type stuff. Jeremy Grant has been phenomenal to start the season. I think they've done a really good job of getting him the ball on the second side on collapsing defenses, whether it's Anthony Simons getting downhill, whether it's Denny Avdia getting downhill. He is not having to create as much, and he's shooting the hell out of the ball.
It's not like a creator, it's a generator.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of what he's generating looks for himself and others.
Just floating
into
spots. But
he doesn't have to be creative.
Yeah, and he can put the ball. I mean, he had a couple drives last night in the third quarter against the Pels where everybody in the press row kind of like looked around at each other like, yo.
And that was the one, though.
Did you see that?
The first win of the year came yesterday, and it was convincing over the Pelicans. And again, you play the same team twice, you're going to have a really good chance of winning that second one, especially when a team shoots Blazer-esque from game one, 8 of 29, the Pelicans from three last night.
Yeah, that Pelicans team, they've got a lot of questions. I mean, DeJounte Murray and Herb Jones, two starters are out. They're still a good team. Zion is coming back from being sick, for those of you who are wondering. Did Zion look like he's not himself? I talked to the Pels coaches and a couple people within the org, and they told me that they were kind of shocked that he played on Friday, to be honest. But he's still working it out. But he's also trying to figure out how the hell he can score on Donovan Klingon.
That's what I want to talk about, though. Donovan Klingon, the concern against a team like New Orleans is, were DA and Klingon guys that were even going to be playable because of how, albeit small, but athletic New Orleans is.
Get up and down, finish at the rim. And Zion is an unstoppable force, but he met an immovable object. And Donovan Klingon is every bit of 7'3", 290 pounds, who he has high level defensive IQ as a rim protector and shot blocker. I had my first unhinged take of the season last night during the game. Coming into the game, he had an over a 9% block rate, according to Cleaning the Glass. So that filters out some of the garbage time stuff. That would put him on par with like Manute Bol, Mark Eaton, Alonzo Mourning, Victor Wembanyama, like the best shot blockers in the history of the game, on like a percentage basis. After watching him play in live action against starters and against like real players, I am convinced he is going to finish there at the end of the season. He is going to, his per 36 numbers right now are 13.5 points, 15.8 rebounds, and 6 blocks.
Okay. How much are we going to skew that though to, it's really amazing what he's doing, but skewing it to the competition of who they've been playing, where two of their three games are teams without a legitimate big.
But here's the thing. You're talking about Zion Williamson, who may be the best finisher in the entire league.
Yeah.
And even if he's sick, he is a guy who is 275, 280 pounds, who has probably the highest level of strength in the NBA outside of Steven Adams. It's like just pure unadulterated bull in China shop. And he's also got a 40-inch vertical. And it's like, and he couldn't put a shoulder into Klingon to fold him over or elevate over him to finish. He just couldn't do it. I mean, on Friday night, he blocked Zion twice. On Sunday night, he blocked Zion twice.
Averaging 2.5 blocks a game.
He is like, and you could see it's not Victor Wembanyama-esque. Oh hell nah.
Yeah.
When you drive, but after he comes on the floor, you do feel a change of. There is one where Zion drove after he got blocked, where he just decided screw this, and he took like a 15-foot pull up. Because he had just gotten absolutely stuck. Zion did the Zion thing where he turns into Bo Jackson. He puts two hands over the ball like a running back and puts his shoulder into you, and then he goes to load that 2-foot jump stop and then goes to go up. And Klingon's like, that's cool. You can jump 40 inches, but my hands are already up here. Like, I'm that big.
May I ask a question?
Go.
So he was a Klingon number 7 pick.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at basically we're 13 minutes a game mm-hmm. so far. And arguably small sample size theater. Mm-hmm. Should we not be hoping for more like 20 minutes a game or so?
No, not right now. That's the thing. It's like you can see.
And because we're in a rebuild time and we want to see what the young guys have.
Well, what he has mm-hmm. is about 16 minutes of gas. You can watch him. That's the thing.
That's fine. I'm fine with it.
And this is admittedly I didn't watch a second of any of their first three games.
I feel like tonight he'll get a good test too with
Sabonis is different
with Sacramento.
And Fox is a guy who's so fast that if you read him wrong, you will foul him.
Yeah.
Donovan's done a really, really good job of not fouling so far, but
they're gonna try to pull him out.
He's just not going to.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like they're just going to go ahead.
See 3 second technical.
He's so good at 2.9ing already. That's a real thing. Like just tap dancing in the paint. He's got that inability. But as far as like the minutes, I've heard a bunch of people like, why isn't he starting? He's better than DA. He's not better than DA. He's a better shot blocker than DA.
And that wasn't even my point. I'm not saying he should be starting and getting like a butt ton of minutes. I just thought maybe it would be a bit higher north of 13 to 14.
He can't. That's the thing. It's like, it's not a matter of like DA's like so good that Donovan can't play. Donovan can't play at the NBA level for like more than 16 minutes right now. Like mm-hmm. you have to remember, he hasn't played more than 23 minutes in his career in college mm-hmm. where you're playing a much, much slower game.
You're playing different dudes and different athleticism and different size guys.
Also, I think it's totally fine because of the fact that this is a developmental year mm-hmm. and you don't want to just throw a guy into the deep end and say, all right, you're going to play 20 minutes early. He will drown.
Yeah, Chauncey flat out said he doesn't want to play him tired.
That's fine.
Because you're going to get him in foul trouble, you're going to get him reaching, you're going to get him falling over. The biggest thing is...
Now, late in a game, if they need to lose it, maybe you will see that.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, towards the end of the season, I think you will see his minutes start going up. But I asked Chauncey pregame of the first Pelicans game about Donovan, about his offense and how he kind of feels about that. I go, his physicality on the defensive end is very, very, very evident.
Yeah.
It's, you can understand it. And I think part of his growing up, the things he needs to round out are playing in Connecticut, you're not exactly playing against the elite in high school. At UConn, he was a backup 1 year, and the next year, again, he's only playing 23 minutes. And he's so big and so strong that he doesn't necessarily need to have incredible timing on rebounds. He doesn't have to have incredible timing on block shots. He doesn't have to have incredible timing on offensive putbacks, where in the NBA, you do.
Yeah.
You have to have those things, and even more so, you need to be strong. And I think once he spends a year plus in an NBA weight room with a real regiment, I'm not saying that UConn didn't work him. But there's levels to this stuff.
Yeah, they're being a professional and being still a college athlete are totally different.
It's totally different things. And I think after you get through this year, I think his year one to year two growth, if he does what I think he can do and he works the way that I think he works, you could see a guy become not necessarily Rudy Gobert, but I think he could be Gobert-esque in the sense of like, Gobert gets a lot of crap. But this is going to sound so weird. Have you ever seen that guy with his
personality?
Well, I mean, have you ever seen him with his shirt off?
No.
That dude is one of the most built dudes in the entire NBA. Like, when you talk about guys who take care of their body, Rudy Gobert is in the very, very, very top of that, which, again, he's 7'1", like 280 pounds, and you see him playing heavy, heavy, heavy minutes.
Am I crazy to think when you said year one to year two, it kind of sparked this in my brain? Hmm. The worst shooting night, most fouls that he's had mm-hmm. in this short season was Scoot Henderson's best game of the three last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that the way he played, even though he wasn't hit, what is he, like 2 of 12?
Two of 12. I thought his floor game was pretty good. I thought his game Friday was actually really good.
Yeah.
I thought he was, and I think Chauncey Billups rewarded him on Friday.
He was good.
Lineup. Yeah.
But that, I looked at you last night, and I was like, all right, if this is the Scoot that we get, I think
if that's bad, Scoot.
Because it was.
That's okay.
But I don't think it was bad. I think it was like he was playing with a level of physicality that got him four fouls. He was trying to facilitate for others in the offense. And that if that's who he is, I'm going to be totally okay with that.
I don't mean to say that he was unquestionably bad. I'm saying, but if that was the bad version of Scoot.
I think the bad version was the first game.
Yeah, I mean, that was really bad. It was like, well, he had 22, 4, and 4. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of that was in garbage time. But no, I think you're right.
Yeah.
He looks more like a rookie should look. Do you know what I mean? In the sense of like, if what you've seen so far this year through these three games was his rookie season, the panic would be so much less than last year. So I think, this has been a trend with the G League Ignite guys. They have all sucked tremendously in their rookie
years.
There's
a reason why it folded.
I've watched a little bit of the Bulls and a little bit of the Pistons, and Modest and Ron don't look good. Like, it's just, Jalen Green took 3 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a little while, but look, the Blazers play 5 games in 7 nights to start the season. They'll have another game tonight against the Sacramento Kings. They have the Clippers on Wednesday. I think you're not playing anybody who's great. I think the Warriors are good. But I think the Clippers are okay, and I think the Kings are okay. They're kind of an identity crisis. But if they start the season 1-4, I'm not going to be surprised, as long as the games are more like they were Friday than they were last Wednesday.
Yeah, the first game was not what anybody wanted to see.
Nasty stuff.
Yeah, and look, if they go 1-4 of their first, five games or whatever, that's on pace for what everybody thought they were going to win anyways. Again, right, it's like
I went back and forth,
20 games.
I went back and forth between 7-23 and 8-22 in their first 30 games.
I'm just going to go with they're starting out at 1-2, and that is far too high of a winning percentage than I would like to.
We'll talk about this tomorrow. We'll talk about this tomorrow then,
especially after we'll have another game under their belt.
I mean, I realize. I mean, then small sample size theater, but
if they're 1-3, they've won 25% of their games. That's 20.5 wins. Mm-hmm. Right over 82 games.
They're 2-2. They're .500, man. And oh my god!
Now we're talking playoffs.
Yes. Well, the sky is falling. I want to capture that darn flag.
Oh right, especially. Did you see they scored 104 points against Arizona State?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy. All right. Coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web. And look, maybe not everything in the movie should be imitated. But first, here's a Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
This one's a dark story, but it's
Oh, no way, from you?
Yeah.
No way.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, that's terrible. But also, how'd you let that happen? Like, I genuinely feel bad for this person. Well, what was this person and their family?
Dang.
Well, when I read this, you'll understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Woman dies after backing into airplane propeller while taking pictures.
Oh, no. No.
A woman in Kansas died backing into a moving airplane propeller while taking photos, according to officials. According to Sedgwick County.
She got Indiana Jones?
She got Indiana Jones'd.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is sad.
37-year-old Amanda Gallagher was taking photos of the Air Capital drop zone of people getting on and off airplanes when she backed into an active airplane propeller.
Oh, my
questions.
Goodness.
Is there nobody around that can be like, hey, be careful?
Like, I don't want to be like,
what is super close.
Well, I don't want to be like, hey, was this person deaf? And then turns out like, yeah, she was deaf. So, like, I don't know.
Was she?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Oh. I don't want to, like, have that be the thing. But
well, I feel like you would feel it, too.
Right? Like isn't your senses are heightened, right? Like, couldn't you feel the giant gust of air behind you and the vibration in the freaking air? Like, I don't. Like, this is why anytime it happens, like, in Indiana Jones, when he's fighting the big giant Nazi who takes his shirt off for some reason, the German bomber spins around and, you know, it's on the block and it comes around and it gets chopped up in the propeller blades. I'm like, that's a cool little movie thing, but that never happened in real life. And then you hear something like this and you go, oh, okay, people are just dumb. And this is like,
well, that's a real
thing. So she was she's a photographer. And so she went in there to take pictures of a skydiving group. And as the group that she was photographing was unloading and the next group was loading, she just started backing up and went right into the airplane propeller. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
That is.
I'm sure that's not a fun way to go.
Oh, my gosh. Because
she didn't, she didn't.
Well, it's probably not, let's face it, she didn't die. Pretty quick.
No, she didn't die immediately. She was taken to the hospital where she died from her injuries later.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And so she worked for the company, the skydiving company, so she knew what the rules were. She knew the danger. It wasn't just like, this was her first time doing it. Oh, my gosh. Huh.
It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I normally just kind of figure for a text line, this is dark. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But it's like, I am always interested in Darwin Awards. Like,
ooh,
like,
the Darwin Awards are the dumbest way people die.
And it's like, this seems like, this. I mean, this isn't a 10. It's at least a 6.
I think it's up there.
6, 7? Well, I mean, scale of 1 to 10? Like, this is pretty dumb.
I think it makes it worse that she worked there.
That's what I mean. This isn't like a first time. But like, look, man, I have been around a lot of running aircraft in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have photos of me next to numerous AC-130 gunships when I was deployed with them. They have propellers the size of me. If that thing's on, I am not going anywhere near that thing.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No. Oh, my God.
Just the idea of, like, thinking about, like, a cartoon, you know, like, the big propellers, like, generate the draft and, like, pull people up off the ground kind of a deal. I'm like, oh, God, no, I don't. Nope. You wouldn't catch me within 100 feet of a running propeller like that.
No.
No freaking way. Outside of an aircraft? No. Freaking way. And especially like these little tiny, which usually these skydiving planes, they're like, they're little like 12-man planes, which means they move quick. Like when they're on the tarmac, that's kind of like having like a little like dirt bike. When you see like a giant plane, yeah. When you see like a big plane, you see like a 757, that thing's like a freaking boat. Golly. And it's going to take a long time for that old thing to swing around. Those little prop planes, they flip around like on a dime. So it's like, you've got to be aware. It's just, it's a terrible, terrible story. But yeah, this is, I mean, what the hell, man? Also, and then to not go immediately.
Yeah, like she suffered. That's not good. Man. That's not brutal. Good at all.
So,
wow, thanks for brightening up our day, Danny.
Well, was either that or I was going to go with the Dwayne Wade statue. We could find a way to work that in somehow.
That Dwayne Wade statue is...
Lawrence Fishburne statue?
It awful. Took me a while to figure out. I was like, who? And then, like, literally 45 minutes an hour, I was like, oh, my God, that's who that's supposed to be.
It's horrendous.
It's one of the worst.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's not like Cristiano Ronaldo bad, no. Where his airport statue, but... Like, this is up there.
Does it make
there.
You appreciate, like, the sculptors of the Renaissance era to a level, like, unto, like, hereful, never before seen? Because,
well, I don't know, because we don't know what Michelangelo, you know, what are they called?
What he actually looked like?
No, what the, you know, the...
Statue of David.
I know the Statue of David. No, okay. What his models actually looked like, right? What if, like, David was like, dude... I look nothing like that.
My junk is so much bigger.
Like, what are you talking about? So they broke it off. And he's like, how about now?
As he holds up his pinky.
Yeah. What if David, his face was like actually all mangled, and Michelangelo's like, yeah, sorry, dude, I couldn't replicate that. No. You know?
I don't know.
My bad.
I would say looking at those statues, those people all look more like actual people.
Yeah, what? They do. Well, the attention to detail in all those statues is incredible. Like, yes. they're wearing like, you know, like
floating
it looks
robes.
Like a blanket, a silk blanket. Is
so let's
over
focus
like,
on the. Yeah. So how about we get the attention to detail more on the face and making it look like the actual person instead of worrying about the jersey and the flow?
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Yeah.
I think we should do that. We should get back to that.
Yeah.
Did you hear?
It's like the art. It's like the art. Okay, but make it sports thing.
How much?
Even those side by sides, they look more alike than what that statue looks like, Dwayne Wade.
But how much of it is, you think, like in the Renaissance era? Though it was like no rush to make these statues. They could take years to make, and now we're like 6 months. Give me Dwayne Wade in 6 months. Yeah, okay, just computer. I mean, yeah, give me the computer. It's computers. Yeah. We can computer these things and then make it a little bit more lifelike.
Did you see Wade's speech?
No.
There's a clip where he's like, "Who's that guy, huh?" And it's like,
it's, yeah, we're not sure.
That's the thing. Is like he was doing it like, oh my god, like I can't believe
it's that computers.
But in reality, everybody took that as like, even Dwayne Wade's questioning who the hell that guy is. Because again, it looks like Lawrence Fishburne. It does not look like Dwayne Wade.
I feel like even Lawrence Fishburne would be like, eh.
Is it? Yeah. All right. That's our worst day on the web. Webs, worst days on the web. One slightly worse than the other, one might argue.
Yeah, the lady going through an airplane propeller, kind of worse than Dwayne Wade.
Is it though?
Yep.
I don't know. Yep. The statue's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, ask her family.
Wow. All right. Coming up next, we had maybe the best World Series game in the history of the sport. And that baseball game, I don't know if about you guys, it goes back an awful long time. We'll get into that and more here next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. One of the most insane baseball moments I've seen in my adult life transpired Friday night down in Chavez Ravine. Freddie Freeman in extra innings did the unthinkable, the first ever World Series walk-off grand slam.
Dude, that was awesome.
A absolute no-doubter. He was just sitting breaking ball, and he blasted it.
A guy that hits been hard to come by, you know, he still has it in him, goes up to the plate, just rips that one. That picture of him holding the bat over his head, just knowing it was gone. Epic bat flip. The way that game one ended, I was just like, ooh.
That game had everything. It was, you get to extras and you're just on pins and needles the whole time.
Yep.
And to walk an MVP in Mookie Betts, to face an MVP in Freddie Freeman.
But that's the thing, is that like I don't blame the Yankees for doing
no,
that.
No, I don't either. It's just so that's how insane these two lineups are.
And was it first pitch?
No.
No.
Wasn't?
No, no.
Okay.
Fourth pitch on that one, yeah. No, and the thing was, is if they grooved Freeman a few pitches earlier in the game, and it looked like he was swinging from his heels, and I was like, oh, if they do that one more time, and they did, and he sat on it and just wrapped that bat around that bad boy.
And look, this is what it comes down to when you're in the World Series, right? Your stars will shine, and you are seeing Shohei Ohtani is going to play tonight. With that shoulder injury, not great. But do you see the number coming out of the viewership of that?
No.
The game two, not game one, there were 15.9 million viewers. Nope. In Japan.
Holy crap.
12% of the entire population of Japan watched game two of the World Series. 13.8 million in America. So,
goodness gracious, that's the Shohei effect.
Well, and Yamamoto, because Yamamoto starting as the pitcher in game two for the Dodgers.
Have you seen the slow mo on his yo-yo curveball?
Think of that, though. That is nearly 30 million people watching, just from two countries watching the World Series. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes.
If you're ever wondering how those baseball salaries get paid,
that's it right there. But in these games, in the World Series, now you look at it, like there was an advantage of like, you knew there were bats across both these lineups, right? And it comes down to, all right, what pitching staff do you think is going to hold up the longest? Mm-hmm. Heading into it, it's like Yankees be just due to sheer health.
Yeah, the Dodgers beat up.
Pitching rotation has been absolutely just ravaged over the course of this year. Well, Walker Buehler's going to go tonight. Mm-hmm. Clark Schmidt is going to go for the Yankees. I don't care who you roll out there. Aaron Judge cannot go 1-for-9
good
with six strikeouts.
Lord. He is Clayton Kershawing his way through a World Series.
He is really good in the wild card round, but after that, he is not good.
Well, I think even into the DSs, even. But yeah, once he gets to the Championship Series and World Series, not good.
If you go over his, like, if you go through the last three games, his last six games, right? Or five games, you go through the last three games of the Cleveland series, he is 3-for-22 at the plate.
Is that good, Bob?
Two RBI.
Oof.
Two runs scored.
For the best player in baseball, that's not a great sign.
No. 13 strikeouts.
That's two RBI and three hits.
The conversion rate's pretty good on the hits.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead. He is... The struggle bus does not even begin to say where we have seen Aaron Judge lately. And he needs to step up if the Yankees are going to have a chance in this, because there's only so much that, you know, I don't know, Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton and Verdugo can do. I mean, I don't know. It comes down to how your stars play. And right now, Dodgers are winning that. And they're winning the series 2-0.
Now, as a non-total baseballman.
Yeah.
I do remember this in my awe from last Friday.
They're going to go Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Stanton.
Well, I was going to say five former MVPs in this series. So it's not like the Yankees are like shorthanded or anything.
No, it's not. It's you know,
or bereft of talent.
And again, that was the thing that I pitched to Dusty was, you know, which three would you rather face? Torres, Soto, Judge, or Otani, Betts, Freeman. And I would rather face the Yankee three, but I still don't want to.
I'd opt out.
Yeah.
But I'd
I would like to not.
No thanks, teacher. I'll take the zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, boy.
I bet Nestor would like that right now.
Poor Nestor Cortez.
Did you see the still frame of his face?
No.
The look you have on your face right now is the same look that he had. As soon as he hits the ball, goes, ooh.
Yeah, I didn't see the still frame, but I saw him like walking off the field after. And yeah, he.
It's an immediate head turn and ooh, biting his lip.
Like. Yeah,
dude. And both these pitchers, you were going to see the bullpen early tonight in Game 3.
Mm-hmm.
Both these teams have got to have their bullpen show up, because look, if anybody's going to get right against the bullpen, it's going to be Aaron Judge in this Yankees lineup. So I hope we see seven games. I love that. I have picked my side, though, and it is the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers, not just because they're up 2-0, but...
When you can't root for the evil empire.
I see both these teams as evil. But the Bat Rays, Freddie Freeman, that won me over. I was like,
It was a Kirk Gibson-esque moment.
I'm in, so...
That was a fantastic moment for me, even on Friday night, because I didn't catch all of the game, but I caught like every scoring play somehow. The cards fell correctly for me. And I saw that swing and just went, whoop.
And by the way, how great is it that the World Series started on Friday and it's Monday and we're at Game 3?
Great. Love it.
Thank you, baseball.
Go Dodgers.
Thank you, baseball. Thank you for doing that for us.
And also, I never thought I'd say this, but also, good Dodgers.
Yeah, right? Feels a little dirty.
Yeah,
does that one hurt you?
Not that much. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I might have to go home.
It's not that bad. It would feel weirder saying go Yankees.
Right.
That would feel much weirder. Yeah. For
I still feel like I need to go home and bathe again.
Yeah. So. Well, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Mm.
Okay, Astros fan.
Can you go take a shower?
Thank God you're in that other room.
Man.
Hey,
what did I do to ask for that?
Stinky boy. Speaking of stinky boys, the Cleveland Browns got rid of their stinky quarterback, and now they look like a team that doesn't suck and blow at the same time. We'll dive headfirst into all of the NFL news and notes from the weekend. Coming up next here in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, 10 in the Fan.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.